Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee so much for this Sunday that we have to gather in thy name. We want to pray, Father, that today would be a very, very blessed moment for each of us as we have gathered together in this house of prayer, together to bend our knees and to lift our hearts unto thee and ask thee to meet us in our need. And as I look out before our dear congregation, I know that there are many, many needs that we come to thee with in this day. We want to pray, Father, because you're just so great and so awesome, and your hand does such a much better job than any of ours to reach so many people in our need, that your Spirit would speak to each one of us today and lift our hearts, focus our mind on the things that really would be important in our lives. We want to pray, Father, for those that would like to have been here today and couldn't be, those that have traveled away from our midst for a period of time. We want to pray, Father, for those that are suffering in this day, in body and in mind. And we want to pray, Father, as we carry them before thee, that you know each one, and that you and your great and loving care would just touch the lives of so many that look unto thee. Thank you, Lord, again for the moment, and guide our thinking in the next few moments as we look into thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, friends, you of course know that we're in the middle of a theme, I'm actually not going to be on the theme this morning of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to postpone that a little bit for the next time, because as the Spirit was working in my heart, I just felt that there was a different topic that we needed to speak about today with each other. Sometimes I give sermons a title, and this one I have as well. He's got the whole world in his hands. This morning we're going to talk about some foundational things, and I just felt in my heart in this moment of national decision that we needed to hear and to emphasize things in life that are foundational, really, really foundational. You know, when I learned the truth about he's got the whole world in his hands, glad Brother Emil is with us here this morning, because he and I learned it together. We learned this in Sunday school in Union City, New Jersey. I have vague memories about what the room looked like. I'm actually thinking that the littlest Sunday school room was in the kitchen of that church. And probably, the two songs that we would have learned first as our teachers were trying to convey to us foundational things were Jesus Loves Me, and I can remember singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, spiritual. For little kids, you know what? It's easier to sing the melody of He's Got the Whole World in His Hands than it is to sing the melody of Jesus Loves Me. It's a little bit harder. It goes all over the place. But He's Got the Whole World in His Hands is a really simple melody to sing. Want to make one distinction for you this morning as we focus on this theme, because I'm a little bit concerned that people might take it the wrong way. There's a difference between things that are elementary and things that are foundational. Elementary usually means that something is simple, right? It's usually what we mean. Elementary, my dear Watson, right? It's simple. Things that are foundational, on the other hand, are deep things. And by deep things, I mean that they are so important that they become the basis that other things are built upon. That would be something that I would describe as foundational. elementary things are not always foundational. And foundational things are not always elementary. But in this truth of he's got the whole world in his hands, we have this beautiful, beautiful superposition of something that is elementary and something that is foundational, all in one. And you know what? This morning, I'm a little bit concerned that folks are going to focus on the elementary part of he's got the whole world in his hands because you think that it's a kid's song. And I'm going to try to stretch you this morning with the Lord's help to be thinking about this in a foundational way. So thankful that I am that one of these earliest things that I learned in my life now as a 57 or 58-year-old comes back to me in a different way, and I realize not only how foundational it is, but in this moment, to really live my life believing that he's got the whole world in his hands. I'd like to lead off this morning with a few verses from the book of Hebrews. We're going to speak about some foundational things that the Bible talks about. And I did an interesting search this week, somewhat by accident, and I was surprised by what I found, actually, that I remembered in the back of my mind and in some places in the Bible coming across the phrase, from the foundations of the world, or the foundation of the world. And as I went back and looked at the scripture, I thought maybe it might be there once or twice, but I was surprised to find out that there are many references in the Bible drawing our attention back to things that are foundational from whenever time zero was. All the way back to the very beginning, the God put in place as foundational for our lives. And those are some of the things this morning that we want to look at, because I really do want our thinking in this moment to be foundational. Here's the first truth we find in Scripture, and you tell me if it isn't applicable to this moment. True rest we can only find in God. And God ordained true rest for his children from the foundations of the world. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, we're going to be looking at a bunch of different scriptures this morning that I might go through kind of quick because I want to be able to draw them together for you. But I'm reading these verses from 3 to 5 in Hebrews 4, if you would listen. For we which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. The God of creation, who we have joined together this morning to worship, we're lifting our voices and our prayers and our thoughts to the God of the creation, set certain things in order from the very beginning. His order, his way. And it's so amazing that God is not only a God of great power and great works, God said that he's a God of rest. And the kind of rest that he offers us and can bring his children into is a kind of peaceful rest that other people can't understand unless you've actually experienced that kind of, I'm going to call it, soul rest. The Bible tells us it's a peace that surpasses everyone else's understanding, and it's a kind of thing that only God's children understand, what it's like to be able to rest in a kind of faith that come what may in life, we just know that he's got the whole world in his hands, and we are right in the middle of where he would like us to be. Brothers and sisters, that kind of soul rest is given to us not only to talk about, but it's given to us to live out. In this moment of great anxiety, to nevertheless live lives that really bespeak a soul kind of rest that's anchored in our real faith that he's just got the whole world in his hands. And hopefully that we're going to be living examples of that kind of soul rest. We live in a moment where there's a lot of talk. And we're susceptible to live in the same kind of thing, that we can say we believe certain things, but living that out is another kind of thing. So I ask you, brother and sister, are you like in a moment right now in your personal life where you really think that you're in a place of soul rest? Are there concerns, anxieties, worries, things that are going on in the life around you that have sort of moved you away from that place? This morning, we're going to invite you in the name of the Lord Jesus to return to that place in your life by claiming simple but foundational truths that you're going to anchor your heart and your soul on, saying, I really believe in this moment in my life that he's got the whole world in his hands, and that's exactly where I am. The Bible doesn't talk about anything like he's got the whole world in his hands, right? Those words are not there. The Bible speaks about principles and other terms that leave the fingerprint in the word of everything being there. We call that sometimes God's providence. God's providence. It means two different things. It means God's divine guidance and his care in our lives. But usually when we speak of God's providence in our lives, we mean that we believe in a God, we conceive in a God of power, sustaining and guiding all of human destiny. When we say, or when we believe that he's got the whole world in his hands, we believe in a God that has all of history planned out his way. And that history is going to come about come what may. And he's got it all worked out. He's got it worked out in his time frame, in his timetable, and it will not be undermined. Even though man at certain times and in certain places have tried to undermine it, God will not be undermined in whatever he is going to bring out. Three examples from the word that I'm going to read in relatively quick order that speak about foundational things and speak about how God is just holding the whole thing up. From Psalm 75, verse 3. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. The sun would not come up tomorrow morning unless God willed for the sun to come up. And one day, all of this is going to burn away. It will all be gone. But God holds up the firmament as it was pillars according to his will that cannot be undermined by men. 2 Samuel 2:16 that speaks of God's sovereign authority over nature. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. God not only brought life into men, but God's breath is the kind of power that brought the firmament into place. And the Bible tells us that he's the kind of God that will breathe periodically into life, and the Red Sea will be parted in the face of all enemies. Nothing can stand in the way of the power of his word. And he brings all things into place, is in control of all things, and nothing evades his glance or his sight. He knows it all, and it's going to come out in the end just the way he planned. Psalm 18, verses 15 to 18. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the Lord were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, and at the blast of the breath of the nostrils. By the way, these are the same exact words that I just read in 2 Samuel. You're probably thinking, Brother Scott, you're reading the wrong verse. You're repeating the verse that you read. No, the exact words that we read with each other in 2 Samuel 26 are the same words we read in Psalm 18, verse 15. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Probably too many times in this life that I get kind of flustered when I realize the limits of my own strength and my own power in the face of the things that are towering around me, until the time comes periodically where you realize, you know what, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, and what my powers might be or might not be, that's not the thing that really matters in the end. Okay, it's all about him, it's not about me, and there's no reason that I need to focus on the things that I can do and I can't do. Some things that God has ordained from the foundation, actually, all the things that God has ordained from the foundation of the word are immutable. Do you know what that means? Immutable. Software people talk about that. I know Brother Rod knows what that means if he writes code. Things that are immutable cannot be changed once they are created. They are there forever. The things that God has created that will be there forever, that nothing will change, even in a moment of national decision. Our inheritance. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Our inheritance was created from the very beginning, and it's going to happen at the end. God's great love for his son and his plan for his children to reign with him together. John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, for they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. We are chosen in Christ, Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I'd like to end with this particular verse for this section here, that our faith and our hope is centered on Jesus. I want to repeat that again to you in this national moment. Our faith and our hope is only centered on Jesus. 1 Peter 1:19-21. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days to you and to me, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, for your faith and hope might be in God. That our faith and our hope in this moment might be in God. There's a lot of competition out there right now for your faith and your hope, and my faith and my hope. And now, in this Sabbath, before a national election, is where we really have to get straight with each other. Really straight with each other about where we're going to put our faith and what is the source of our hope. In the past couple of weeks, I've really enjoyed a book that I'm reading that I've just finished this past week about the religious life of Robert E. Lee. There are times in life, for all of us, that God gives us an example of another brother, another sister, somebody else that we come across in life, but there are things that we notice about their walk and about their life that really like make a real impression on us. Maybe it's because they're different than us, and those are the things that capture our attention, you know, because we have a contrast between them and us. But there are just a couple things in reading in that book of the things that he said that have really captured my attention because of his deep, deep belief in providence that now was kind of putting to question in some ways, what is my belief in this moment in the sustaining power of a God that will lead through our human destinies. Robert E. Lee had an unwavering commitment that all things in life, big and small, were in the Father's hands. And this is something that he didn't just believe. This is something that came out as he was interacting with everybody. How frequently he would tell people around him, it's in God's hands now. This is in God's hands. That is in God's hands now. With the news that he would get about things that would befall the different people who he was leading and working with, their illnesses, their wounds, things that had happened in a myriad of different ways, to continually say, almost on the level of a prayer, it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands now. Every victory and every loss that he ever had in life was framed with God's providential hand. If victories happened, it was because God willed it so. Not because of the particular advantage that he brought to the situation. Likewise, if things went the other way from him, it was because God had willed it so. There actually is a lot of power in that. A lot of power in really believing that whatever happens in life, God wills it so. Don't misunderstand me. If we have a strong belief in God's providence, that doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibilities. I heard one person say at one point, well, if we really believe in a God of providence, then why bother praying? It's a fair question to ask, right? But Robert E. Lee realized, and we realize also, that even if we have a strong belief in a God of providence, we still actually have a great great attention that we have to pay to duty and to responsibility that we all have in life. God sometimes brings out his providential will through the obedience or the disobedience of others. And we, of course, have a responsibility and a duty to try to be on the right side of that equation, that when we act and move in life, we do it hopefully out of a sense of obedience to God. God doesn't require our obedience to bring about his providence. He desires our obedience to bring out his providence. He doesn't need you and me. He asks for our attention and for our obedience and be willing to place ourselves under his authority by living out our duty and our responsibility as he gives us light and as he gives us strength. A strong sense of God's providence can be a huge, huge thing in dealing with loss. After the horrible experiences of the Civil War and all the lives that were lost, and seeing the gruesome way in which that thing happened, you know, just as a quick aside, we can kind of link in a bit. You know, with people who have gone through war-torn experience and go through PTSD, you never hear anything about soldiers that lived through that, like during the Civil War. Yet they had to. Because of the god-awful things that they saw in life that weigh on one's humanity, on one's mind, and on one's soul. He lived through all of that and saw all of that. But you know what? Robert E. Lee finally accepted that the Confederate loss was according to God's will. He had invested everything in his life in trying to bring out a victory, had made decisions that had basically committed the death of others, that is a responsibility I'm sure glad I will never have in life because I will never pick up that mantle. But he could come to grips with the fact at the end of the day that the loss was according to God's will. His wife could not come to those terms and was largely tormented throughout the end of her life. In willing to submit oneself to God's will, that actually helped him transition into the last years of fruitful labor when others became embittered from the events of life. He actually could move into a different positive role, becoming the president of a small university, an ailing, crumbling university that in the last few years of his life invested his time and effort, insisting, by the way, insisting that all the students that attended this university joined him at chapel daily. Let's get very practical in this moment. A few points as I would try to, again, focus our attention on the things that are really foundational in this moment and what has our heart and what has our mind. I believe, and not just me, I know that Brother Dave believes this, Brother Mike, Brother Urs, because we've discussed this with each other, that the church, rightly so, should avoid political discourse and definitely avoid political controversy. For sure. That is not our role. In a healthy way, we're called upon to help people in our congregations as well as people in our lives to have a healthy perspective of things that we're living through in life. Our focus needs to remain on the kingdom agenda, and not become distracted by other life agendas that we're being solicited for. It's the kingdom agenda that we really have to keep our minds and our hearts on. At the same time, I haven't really asked. Well, actually, we did about 2 weeks ago. I guess in a minister's meeting, we did sort of discuss this point, that I don't believe that the church should be ignorant either of the moment that we're in. I believe that we should speak truth into the moment that we're in, and also help all our brothers and sisters and the friends that we come into contact with, help them in a healthy way to be able to process what it is that we're bombarded and being confronted with all the time. So I will speak into the moment. God's power, sustaining and guiding human destiny, will not be undermined. It will not be undermined in this moment. We can all rest in that belief. There are so many biblical accounts that remind us that God has used all kinds of people to bring about his providence. All kinds of circumstances in the history of the world to bring about the way he wants things to happen. There are the Davids and there are the Goliaths. There are the partings of the Red Sea in the face of enemies. I'm so glad that God seeks obedience from his children and from men at large, but he is not constrained by their obedience to bring about what he wants to bring about. He's so much bigger than all that. We all agree, I think, and we say with each other that we don't put our hope in men. But brothers and sisters, you know what? I'm gonna push that a little bit this morning. I'm going to push that a little bit and see if it's really so. It's something that we can only each answer for ourselves. I mean, when you look out into 2021 and 2022, I mean, I'm asking you honestly and openly, who are you really putting your trust in? Who has your affection and where do your faith actually lie, even being bombarded with all kinds of things that are around us? Let me put it to you this way. Who has got your personal world in whose hands? Who? And I hope it's not something that we sort of feel or we sort of say that, you know, God has got the whole world in our he's got the whole world in his hands. But in the way that we go about the affairs of life, we're tempted to believe that our livelihoods are in other people's hands. They're not. Many people have a favorite outcome based on their understanding of what they think would be the best path for us in the future. We're all entitled to that, and I believe that we have a duty and responsibility to express our choice and our best preference, whatever that might be. At the same time, we all need to be really, really bathed in humility in this moment. Really bathed in humility. Humility would wear well. Because you know what? I've got to live with this, and so do you. It might be that my choice does not coincide with the Father's will. And I also realize in the same moment, you know, that I might think that I'm right. But you know what? I've realized that it's really in a moment of great blessing. It's really in a moment of huge blessing because I am the first one to say, I cannot see into the future. And you cannot see into the future. So how can I really know who the best choice is when I can't see the future? But I know one who does. You know, it's a blessing in that regard that we can all make ourselves subservient to the Father's great will and realize that he's got the whole thing in his plan, in his hands and according to his plan, even for the things that I can't see. And, you know, that's even a silly way of saying that. Even for the things that I can't see. You and I see so little into life and so little into the history of this world and so little into the needs of our nation and the needs of the world that are going, that's happening around us, that we should be overwhelmingly thankful that we are willing to put our faith in the one who sees all. And pray. And pray for men. We should pray for men. I hope you're praying for men. Pray for wisdom for other men. And pray for obedience for other men. You know, that's a tough one. Because as we get to know other people, there seems to be a real lack of obedience on a lot of different levels. On a lot of different levels. I hope you're praying for obedience. That whatever insight God gives people, living out those insights are also another thing. But we have no problem saying we pray for men, but that's not where we put our trust. We put our whole trust and our hope in God. You know what? Let me give you a word of consolation. It's not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. It's not going to turn out that way. Let me tell you what I mean. It's not going to turn out the way that I would want. Forget you. Let's talk about it. It's not going to turn out the way I would want. It's going to be easier if I frame it that way. Whoever my choice might be, he's not going to be as good as I would hope him to be. He will not be. We live in a system that's based on compromise. And without compromise, nothing happens in our system. And we're living that out right now in this very moment, right? No compromise, no support. Nothing happens without there being compromise. So that means even if my favorite choice were to be elected, he's not going to be able to do what I would hope him to do because it's based on compromise. We flip around and look at it the other way. You know what? At the same time, if things don't go the way I would think it would go, it's not going to be as bad as the sum of all my worst fears. It will not be. Because whoever that is, that person will not be able to do all the things that I would think of that are the worst things that could possibly happen. He won't be able to do that because we live in a system based on compromise. So he's not going to be as bad as I think he might be. On the other hand, the other guy's not going to be as good as I would hope he might be. That's just not the way it works. That is an added reason why we need to come to this in a very humble moment. Because God will sort his way through all of that. In a personal moment, we all live in personal moments. As I look out, many of you in your life and in your circumstances, I'm keenly aware of the personal moment that many of us live in right now. And how the circumstances around us would weigh on that. You know what? I'm so thankful to believe in this moment in my life that he's got the whole world in his hands. Man, I need that. You know, in my personal circumstance in my life, having been unemployed for a few months now and trying to launch a business in the middle of a COVID environment, there's a lot of things that are working against you. But, you know, I realize at the end of the day that it's not my strength or my abilities ultimately in the end that's going to make it or not. It's not going to be the wins or the losses. At the end of the day, I can really believe that he's got the whole world in his hands. And even if it turns out in a way that would not be my choice, in the way that I would hope it's going to work his way through, to be humble enough to believe that, you know, God provides a bit of the ability for all of us to pivot in life. Then we pivot and he brings us into a different place that ultimately is the place of his choosing. I might be tempted to spend a lot of time being consumed, you know, with the fears and the anxieties of what might come. But you know what? This I know, okay, and this is, I'm going to persuade you, you all have to know this, that I know that my life and the life of my family is not in blue or red hands. They are not in blue or red hands. Mighty hands are holding me and my loved ones. And those mighty hands are also protecting me from what I can't see. Gosh, am I thankful for that. There are a lot of us, as I look out over our congregation, in not an unsimilar place, but maybe for different reasons. Brother Dave, Sister B, in their position in life. Jeff, in his position in life. Rod, in some moments now, in his position in life, but also for uncertainty. Those that are around us, like the Marcies. Maria Harfman, transitioning into a total different place in life. I don't mean to have missed anybody, I'm sure, if I thought about it in more detail, than the Muellers, in many ways in a position of transition. Well, there are many of us that are in that moment right now, that for us to be able to actually say with each other, he's got the whole world in his hands. I listened to my favorite recording of this morning. I kind of wish I could play it for you because I really think you'd be blessed, but we can't get all this stuff set up. 1990. Carnegie Hall. Spirituals. Jesse, Norman, Kathleen Battle. Two great sopranos soaring, absolutely soaring, as they're trying to convey, he's got the whole world in his hands. So incredibly uplifting. He's got the woods and the waters in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the sun and the moon in his hands. He's got you and me in his hands. We pray for men, but we're not in their hands.